Welcome to another episode of the Best Care Seeker Podcast, aka the podcast about nothing. I am your host, CZ Ray, and as usual, I'm not alone. I'm joined by my brethren, Philo My Just and Drayzon Blaze. What's going on, gents?
Yeah, the brethren are a problem today. but yeah, we're alive, man. We're alive and well. It's good to be back. Again, it's good to have all the it's good to have all the bras in the studio, you know what I'm saying?
Man. So excited, man. Wow. Mm-hmm. C's, shout out to you. Philo, shout out to you. You guys are my brothers, man. Shout out to you guys.
Is he okay?
All right. Let's see. What you saying, Ziz? Tell us.
Nothing, guys. I'm just happy to be here. You know, thankful for life. Thankful for the gift of friendship, the gift of brotherhood. we're here. But no, yeah, guys, it's good to be back. It's been a while since, you know, everyone was here, so
yeah,
shout out to you guys for making it. It's a different one today. Usually, as most of our listeners know, we spend a lot of time on the show reviewing specific projects. We dedicate entire episodes to just one specific project every week. But every now and then we deviate and we do the episode about nothing, where we talk about everything, essentially. And so I thought that today we'll start by talking about the, I guess you can call them the new school. I guess they are. I don't know if they have a name.
Or, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But that's what I'll just call them for now. Artists who have sort of popped up in the last year or so. And so those are artists like Brother Cooper, Jay Katana, maybe Nash, but Nash has been around,
as an artist,
but like
I would say
I guess you can put him there as well.
Different capacity.
Yeah, an artist, yeah. Definitely the past year or two. Baby Days and a few others. I'm sure that you guys will mention, Brady. You know, the others. So I want to talk about those guys, find out how you guys are feeling about them. Are you feeling positive about where we're headed musically in the hip-hop space, even in the R&B space, or just music in general, in SA especially? So yeah, let's just start with these new guys. Bilo, what are your thoughts? Where are you at with these guys?
Yeah, man. I think, you know what, Doug, for me, now, actually no, let me take it back. I think like at the start, right, when these guys started popping up, so like your Coopers, your Katanas or Baby Days, and they started like showing up in my world, let's say, like I won't lie, I was definitely a hater, bro. Like I'll tell you straight, like from the get-go I was like, what is this shit? Like this is not it, you know what I mean? And obviously this is just coming from a place of, you know, at the time, when was this, like maybe a year or two ago or whatever, like hip-hop in general, not necessarily South African hip-hop, but we can also take US hip-hop, like you could feel that the art was kind of deteriorating, right? Or if we just talk about rap as what it is, right, like niggas don't rap anymore. It's more so just about, you know, who can get onto a track and make it sound,
who
you
can
know,
go
good.
Viral, really.
So I think yeah, who could go viral, because also, you know, we had that episode about nothing episode where we also just spoke about the TikTok era and just how, you know, people are chasing a smash and that kind of thing. So like when these guys popped up, I think I kind of classed them or put them into that bucket, you know, as bras that are trying to chase a hit or whatever the situation is. But I think as time went on, bro, like I've actually like grown to really, really like a lot of these new school artists, bro. So like you could look at your Brother Cooper, Katana, Baby Lowski, Baby Days, look at the Quelas, whatever the situation is. And like, and I think the reason why I've gotten to like these guys so much is because they really are in their own lane and just doing their own thing, bro. Like I feel like, you know, artists tend to bend to what the public says, especially in South Africa, When people always say everything is so Americanized or whatever the situation is, you know, artists tend to bend to that or try find ways to appeal to the SA market. But it's like these bras have been unapologetically themselves, and ultimately the kids love them. And I think them kind of just sticking to their core fan base, like they've broken into the South African mainstream as well, you know, just by being themselves. So, you know, the music itself, I think I definitely do like it in pockets. Like, I'm not gonna say that I don't listen to Cups and Feels by Cooper and I'm feeling something, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do, you know. So it's like it's actually now started to work its way within my world. But yeah, man, I really like it. And yeah, I think a lot of these guys, like, a lot of good potential, and yeah, they're killing it at the moment.
Yeah. I feel you, bro. For my side, I think it's a bit of a bittersweet thing, because for me personally, like, one thing I'll say is I love the fact that you pointed out as well that it feels like these guys are just kind of doing their own thing. You know, it doesn't feel like they're really trying to cater to anybody specifically. But one thing I do appreciate is the fact that your Katanas or your Coopers, these guys are adding some Mzansi flavor into their music. Even if we could say lyrically, it might not be the best thing since sliced bread, bro. You know what I'm saying? But they're able to make it relatable to the audience that they're marketing to, but still keep it authentically them, you know? I guess my only problem comes in with a lot of the new school or the new guys, whatever we call them, is I feel like, you know, hip-hop has always, I guess, been tied to lyricism in some aspect. Until like mid-2015s, that's when, I mean, mid-2010s, that's when I think it started to go left. That's the only thing I feel like I wish they would at least try more to be a bit more, you know, lyrically appealing or to just honor rap a bit more when they create what they're creating. But it's a new time at the end of the day. I understand that's just not really the focus. A lot of it is vibes and feels, you know what I mean? Which is cool, but I think this is a reflection of why hip-hop is not where it's supposed to be, or at least where it was. You know, it felt like it was growing. It felt like hip-hop was at the top. Every year, it felt like hip-hop was still, you know, even though it was going left, we were still getting a lot of growth. Now, the growth doesn't seem to be there. It seems to be more, people are just doing their own thing. So I guess for me, that's where I look at it, bro. It's like everyone's kind of doing their thing. It's cool. But I don't like the fact that hip-hop itself doesn't feel like it's still being honored 100%, you know? Even with the small few guys that are doing, like, if we talk about, like, a Kane Keed or someone like that, it's like, you know, it's so niched down now. Like, lyricism is so niche. It's almost like you get the top rappers telling you, hey, rap only gets you oohs and ahs and what. So it's like, it's not even appreciated anymore. You know what I mean? So I guess that's where I would say is my problem. But as for the music, the vibes, the creation, the new directions, hey, I'm here for it. But I would just like a bit more like penmanship, you know? That's me personally.
Yeah, and I think, Dwayne, I just want to hop onto that point where you're like, not necessarily the lyricism, but the authentically South African parts, bro. Like, you see the way Cooper uses those samples like Cure Me and all these other songs that are such legacy songs in South Africa, and it just sounds so like South African. Even like what Brazil 3, I know, is like, you know, more so towards Brazil stuff, but like it just has that African feeling to it. You mean, you can even look at Baby Days with like Ale Dobina, his Congolese heritage and that kind of, like, that shit there, I think that is like so fire, bro. Because a lot of people have always cried and said, you know what, like, South African hip-hop artists have always been Americanized or whatever it is. There's no authenticity. But like, to see the kids really pull that in is really, really
That's
dope.
A strong point. Even Nash and those guys, they use a lot of references. 100%. I love that.
100%. I think there's other sound that was on TikTok, and I think it's a feature with Blackie, when he's like, yeah, I'll hit you with the mpama. In Zimbabwe, we say sadza, whatever. I don't know. But like, that type of shit, like, I'm like, yo, this is fire, bro. I'm like, this
That's SA hip hop to me. You know, the things that, like Baby Days, regardless, put whatever lyricism aside, but that's SA Hip Hop. You know, using those samples, like, using those references, just even, like, the dances or whatever. Like, I like the fact that they're so stuck on those. So that is a great highlight for sure.
You're both talking about growth, that you haven't seen enough growth in the last year or two, particularly from this new bucket of artists. You mentioned Kane Keed as sort of like an outlier as an example. I'm sure there's others, but yeah, you know,
the most prominent
since
right
we
now.
Have spoken yeah. about her on the show. Yeah. So I guess my question to you guys then is, how do you measure growth? How do you quantify growth? What does that look like? Because, and you guys know where I stand with these guys. So just putting it out there, just when you answer my questions, just
but also share with the folks what you like, where what how where you sit. Share with the folks where you sit.
I think it is.
Tell us what you think about this class of artists.
That's not important right now. I just want to ask this question before I forget. So, like, what does growth look like to you guys then? Because if these guys are coming in doing their own thing, but you're saying that it's not lyrical enough, maybe, or it's missing a rap element to it, or whatever it is, right? I mean, does it have to be? I mean, I don't understand. Like, not that I don't understand, but I'm just curious as to what does growth look like to you guys then? Because the group before them, I guess they had like it was an entire movement. They had a whole thing. It was like, sort of like branded, essentially, called the New Wave. And you could see what is happening and the things that they were doing. It felt very much like they were all on the same wavelength in terms of pushing hip-hop to sort of like a different direction. I wouldn't say new heights, but I would say a different direction in terms of the type of music that they were making and the type of content that they were leaning more into, sort of like the darker stuff, you know? And so I'm now looking at that, and then I take it a step back even more to Nasty's time, Nasty, Reese, and them niggas there, right? They were very lyrical, of course, compared to the New Wave that came after. But the New Wave was still lyrical, but in their own way as well. You know, like I was saying, it was a much darker sort of thing that they were doing. Now with these guys, I don't want to call them TikTok because that's just not right. It just, you know, but the new guys, we'll find a name for them at some point, but the new guys,
the 2Ks,
particularly the guy that you guys mentioned, Cooper, Nash, Baby, whatever, not Baby Days, because I feel like even then Baby Days is lyrical. That man is telling stories. Like, I sit and I, you know, go through translations of what this man is talking about. That man is, he's really locked in, you know? And then, so I would say, even though he is part of this new thing, I would say he is doing his own thing. If anyone is doing his own thing, I would say it's him. And so, Brother Cooper, and that other guy she has mentioned,
Baby Lowski, yeah,
and those other guys that she has,
but then
yeah, all of those guys,
like,
right? I feel like they're more
about,
into
sorry,
that thing. So what?
Yeah,
what does growth look
like? I also
like?
Wanted to ask you, like, because I know you followed these bras before, like, if you look at like the Quellas as well, and you look at people like Blue Papi and all these guys coming from there as well, like, that's also a completely different side of the new school, you know what I mean? Like, so I think when we talk about the growth question, man, I don't know. I think it's very hard to tell, because not necessarily in SA hip hop alone, but I think hip hop no longer feels like it moves in one voice. You get what I'm saying?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think, like you said, like with the Nasties, Reese's, Shane Eagle, all different artists, but like you could kind of feel a common goal or a common direction that everyone's heading in.
Yeah.
With your Caspers, yes. Rickies, AKAs, you could kind of feel that direction, like that they're heading feel. In. You know what I mean? That community feeling with your Jay Mullies, Patrick Lees, etc. You could feel where they were going. With these guys, it's like they're all just everywhere. In their own lane, doing their own thing, and success is measured by their, like, the success is measured on their own individual accolades more than hip hop in terms of the community. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think that could also stem from, because I'm not going to blame it and say it's them working in silos or whatever, because they do collaborate and that kind of thing. But a big thing that we used to say about SA hip hop is that the guys at the top were gatekeepers and didn't let the kids come in and do their own thing. And I think that's probably also a result of that, you know, like the doors not being opened up. So obviously hip hop's not going to move in its own voice, because these guys are trying to find their own ways to kind of break in. Obviously, you have some guys that platform new artists, like Slick at the moment is doing a really good job with like these Bangerville EPs. So you have like your Flo Jones shining, your K-Keeds and that kind of situation. But I feel like in this new game right now, growth is measured by someone's own individual successes. And right now we're living in a numbers game. So it's about the streams. It's about the interactions. It's about the brand deals, who gets to tour to the UK with this artist or whatever. I don't think it's a hip-hop thing now where it's like SA hip-hop is moving like this. I think we've kind of grown past that.
I think that's valid, bro, because my point also kind of goes to that too. I think when I speak about growth, I look to that sort of standpoint of the community of hip hop as a whole, of SA hip hop, just feels so dissected and it just feels all over the place, right? It just feels like you say, there's people doing their things there, there's other people doing their things there, there's TikTokers, there's, you know, Cooper and them going to London. It just feels like there's no community. So yes, there are, like, because we can't say fully that lyrics only determines growth, because that would be wrong, you know? Because hip hop is, as much as it's close to lyrics, it's not just based about that. I think it's the whole package. I think lately the package, like if we just look at the artists, the top artists who've been coming out of SA hip hop lately in the past few years, it's like even the caliber of artists feels like, you know, like Mpila was saying, everybody is very me mindset. Like, okay, you've got your Tony Demanis and your Usman Manis, né? Then you've got your Cooper, your Katana. Then you got your, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If people would come together more and fuse all these different things together, I feel like the genre itself would get stronger and the growth would come from that strength of everybody really uniting and collaborating. Because that's how it felt like when it was Ricky and Casper, it felt like there was that head, like they were the authority, not the authority, but like the head of the board of hip hop or something when it comes to rappers. And then AKA and all these guys, they were doing a lot to nourish the game. You know, now I feel like there's not a lot of that happens, bro.
Literally, so, bro. Like that speaks the thing, for example, Doug. I'm sorry to cut you. But like that speaks the thing, for example.
No problem, bro.
I just think was also an example of that thing. You know what I mean? That you're saying. Like that whole thing with K-Keed and like, yeah, but you must come. Yes, I get it. Niggas must freestyle, whatever. But like, it just feels like there's a lot of division or sowing of division to a degree across the game. So yeah.
It's like everybody's kind of like, you know, it's like even that's a good point. It's like even our own rappers be saying things like, I don't make music for rappers, or I don't make music. I'm not a rapper. I'm a pop star. It's like even that. It's like the culture of being hip hop, of being rap, it's not even, it's like people aren't even proud anymore, bro. You know? So yeah. I think that's another thing, bro. Usman Mane talk about he's quitting at 25. You know, it just feels like people aren't even, you know, for the game like that anymore.
Yeah, I remember that tweet. But
not to single him out, though, I'm just saying.
You guys mentioned game just feels
not as serious as it used to be.
No, of course. Now he's doing his thing, and you know, new music is coming out, well, not soon, but I guess the next year he'll be dropping some incredible things. But I don't want to speak on that right now. I guess you guys mentioned a couple of the DJs. You said DJ Slick is doing his thing for the guys right now, and you said Speedster as well on his show, which is sort of like, you know, become quite popular, I would say, in the last couple of months after the Kane Keed incident. What are your guys' thoughts on that? When hip-hop artists go on a hip-hop show, should they be expected to drop a 16? Should we demand a 16 from them? I'm asking this because if I'm a rapper and I've just put out an album with 16 tracks and I've given you guys 40 verses and I'm on a show to promote those 40 verses and you ask me to give you a rap verse, some rappers might not want to do that. Like, I've just given you like 40 new verses.
You must go to a pop show then. Let's talk up with the music. You must go to pop radio then.
So, my thing is, what are your thoughts on that? Should we expect hip hop kids to drop 16s? Not even just to rap on these shows. What are your thoughts?
Hey, man. I think, you know, for me, bro, like, I'm two ways about it. I think obviously as like a someone who really enjoys rap and understands where it comes from and what it's about, like, obviously you'd expect someone to come onto the show, drop a 16. If you're embarrassing yourself, you embarrass yourself. You know what I mean? We've seen so many Sway in the Mornings where niggas have just, you know, fucked around there.
Yeah, we've seen many
and
flops,
whatever people have flopped, but it's like, you know, you went in, you tried, you owned it, right? Which is okay. Like, I think you know, you should be able to go in and do that. But then, like we said at the start of this thing, bro, like, the game has changed, you know? And yes, I get it, you know, like, you know, you should be able to drop a 16 and that kind of thing. But not everyone's going to do it, bro. Not everyone is capable of doing it. And I don't know, I guess from a radio perspective, bro, like, I think now when we kind of look at it on the back end and that kind of thing, I just think there should have been a briefing done. Not necessarily a briefing, but just be like, yo, is this something that you're comfortable with doing? That's what I think should have happened in that situation. That's what should be happening, I guess, now, considering where we're at. But like I said, there's also another side of it, of being an actual hip hop head and saying that you should be able to do this, no questions asked. You know what I mean? I'm two ways. I haven't really found, like, when people ask me about that situation, I understand both sides, bro. Like, honestly.
For me, I completely don't understand the one side of it. Here's my thing, because why are you going to a rap show then? Why are you a rapper then? Like, sing, make, you know, do R&B. That's how I feel, because it's like, bro, if you rap on a track, why is it so hard for you to now rap here when somebody throws on a beat? I get it, freestyle, or maybe you have to prepare a 16. My thing is, rather just don't go to the show if you know you're going to have to rap. Go to another show where they're not going to ask you to rap. Because now, I feel like, then, how does someone outside of hip-hop look at it? Oh, he's a rapper on a rap show. Oh, he don't want to rap. Oh, these rappers can't rap. You see how it just looks? It just looks weird to me. Like, I just feel like, go to, where's that Jacaranda? I don't think they ask you to do freestyles there. Go to Jacaranda, do your interview, and then that's cool, bro. You know, don't come to hip-hop, then don't come to a hip-hop audience who wants bars, and then you're like, oh, man, I don't rap. Then let's bring someone who raps. That's how I feel, bro. That's honestly how I feel about it, bro. I get it's new time and all, but I don't get it, bro. Like, a lawyer's a lawyer, bro. A lawyer lawyers. A rapper raps. I don't know.
It is. What do you think, Cees? What do you think?
Hectic. Okay, no, I hear you. I was just... Yeah, man, look, I see both sides of this thing, and that's what I was saying to you earlier. That's how I preface it, as I try to put myself in the position of, I've just, you know, spent 2 years working on this album, and I'm on the road promoting it, it's all new songs, it's all new verses, and then now someone's asking me to drop another. I'm like, bro, like, I just did it, bro. Go listen to the album. The verses are there, you know. I always go back to
Vince Staples,
the Vince Staples thing that he said, you know. Sure, it was funny because it's Vince, but like, there's some truth to it. But at the same time, I also see the other side of it, which is just like the sport of hip hop is to rap, is to freestyle, right? And so I also see that side of it. I was just like, hey, you know. And I'll even an example. When the Maglera was on another show, I can't remember what, on YFM or I don't know what show.
But you're referencing that Scooby Dooby Doo thing on the radar, because that one.
No,
that was a hard part. Yeah,
this was local, yeah. And so Maglera was here doing an interview thing, and then at some point in the show, they asked him, you know, to drop something, and he basically just like rapped at 32 from a song that was already out, right? But this song hadn't really caught motion yet.
Yeah.
And so he delivered these bars, and like just the way he was doing it, the energy, the swagger about it all, people were like, damn, like this is so dope, you know? And then people were like, oh, this is actually from a song. And then all of a sudden, now that song, you know, started moving. And so I feel like, yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be
exactly
a freestyle, I guess. But like, you know, do something. Even if you're spitting a verse from the album that you're promoting. I guess
you from many people have done that. People don't even give a shit, bro. It's like,
you know,
just do it.
It's a moment, just have fun with it, you know. No one is gonna stop you and say, nah, you can't rap that one, do another one. That, you know, it's just come on.
But you know what the thing that sucks is now, because it's like Keed probably went in there to promote an album, and then now the actual drop got overshadowed by that moment. You know what I mean? And like, we've reviewed the project, and it's a good project, but I highly doubt now people are going to go listen to it because of that. So yeah, I get it, you know, because hip hop is a sport and that kind of thing. But like, also remember, these interviews are all like also PR, pushing your shit and whatever the situation is. So like, to have that also overshadow your shit, I get where the frustration can come from. You know what I mean? Like, you see, when we're playing like both sides and trying to understand, yes, I get it from the sport perspective and hip hop is hip hop. But now let's look at why she was even there in the first place to promote a project. And now that's been fucked up to a degree. I don't know if you guys get me.
You see, but my thing is, isn't that fucked up though? Isn't that in itself fucked up? You go into a hip hop platform to sell your project, to sell your shit, but you can't give back nothing to the culture. Oh no, I can't rap for y'all. No, I can't even give you, but yeah, buy my album, way, stream my like, album,
bro. Nah, like, that's how many up, of those freestyles? No, but how much of those freestyles now? Like, nah, bro.
It's,
like,
bro,
now
it's not so even up. Like, look, here's my. It's not even about the freestyle, bro. It's about why you're going to rap show as a rapper and not rapping, bro. That's all it is, bro. You know, if you went to another Metro FM and you can say, even if you say beforehand, bro. Here's my thing. Here's the only bail I'll cut KKE, bro. If she said to Spisa, yo, bruv, at the beginning of this interview, I do not want to rap. I do not want to do no freestyle shit. I do not want that shit. And he said, yes, cool. And then he spun it around mid-interview. Then Spisa fucked up for that. I'm sorry, bro. That's the only way. Because I get it. Some people, they just don't want to do that shit. Cool. But it's like, don't go on the show and just go on a hip-hop show not expecting anything to happen, bro. Okay, the first thing, bro, if Spisa called me, bro, I'm making sure I have like 10, 16 just in case, bro. Just in case, bro. Even if you just call me to bring him coffee, bro. Just in case, because I know I'm going to a hip-hop show, bro. You know what I'm saying? What happened to the passion of rappers, bro? Niggas not even passionate about shit anymore. They're just like, just stream this shit, bro. Then they're gone. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's my only part of it, bro. It's just like, rather go somewhere else, bro. That's it, bro.
I get you.
Maglera performed a verse that he has with the song with KO. Which even at the time, I didn't even know that those guys made a song together until that freestyle, or, you know, quote unquote freestyle happened.
What song was that again?
And then I'm like, oh, okay, I guess. But anyway, I just wanted to get you guys' take on that side of what's been happening. But I want to go back to, you know, what we have for these guys, Coopers and them. You guys are talking about authenticity. You're talking about, you know, making it sound South African and all of these, you know, cool things. Do you guys think that there is an issue with relying heavily on sample nostalgia? I'm speaking particularly now in terms of Brother Cooper. A lot of his things is, I'm going to take this, you know, classic essay song, I'm going to flip it into, you know, my sound, whatever he's doing. And it's going to, you know, do the things. Is there an issue with that? That an artist will build his whole, I want to, not his whole majority thing, but that's what he did, really. Essentially, he built his whole thing off of that, right? What do we then say to originality and authenticity in that context?
I think personally, the context is different, bro. And the reason why I say this is because they do it a lot in the US, you know, and I think there it's a little bit played out where the creativity honestly lacks, you know. But I think also when we look at South African music in general, like, yeah, I don't think South African music is well documented enough. Well documented in the sense, like, we know in the US who their stars were in their part in the past. We know what the biggest hits were. We know all about Michael Jackson, whatever the situation is, their hip-hop culture. There's documentaries to kind of build that up. And I think in a South African context, our music isn't well documented enough. So I think, Cooper's bringing back songs, but I feel like a lot of South Africans or kids now don't know about these tracks anymore. Yes. Unaware of your Cure Me's and whatever. Yes. Obviously, now you can hear them in the club and stuff, but, like, I think what they're doing is ultimately shining a light on songs that were really, really big. Like, yes, we know Brenda Fassie and Lebo Mathosa, but I'm sure if you ask the kid, they can't name one song or can tell you what a song sounds like. You know what I mean? So for me, I think these, or the new school bringing in South African samples, and that is really just documenting our culture, which isn't really well documented. So I personally don't have a problem with it at all.
I agree with you. I'm very happy about that thing. And even if a South African kid comes out tomorrow and he builds his whole catalog of South African samples, I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm more happier than anybody else, bro, honestly. Because to me, it's keeping the culture alive, bro. It's like Bilo said, it's educating the youngins. It's just keeping the spirit of SA music alive. And if you're doing that over everything, bro, I respect you. There's nothing bad I have to say to you. I don't care how many times you chop up the samples from back in the day, bro. Do your thing. As long as, obviously, you're trying. Like, you're not just fucking doing rubbish. I'm happy about that. There's nothing else I can say.
So, do you guys rate Brother Cooper as an artist? This is a very direct question now. Do you rate him as an artist?
I think still kicks me, bro. No, I think, look, as a producer, amazing. As the music that he puts out, it's just, oh, dog, the lyricism is what kills me. But I think, yeah.
But 100%. The vibes, though.
I think, the thing is, that's the thing. I've seen Cooper perform, dog, and I've seen, like, and I've seen how he's ultimately turned the place upside down. So, yeah, actually, no. Yeah, I do rate him as an artist. Let me say that.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like there's no reason why he shouldn't. I think he's a very, very strong artist for his generation. You know? Like, if I were to weigh him through my metrics, maybe it's going to be different. But looking at him, what he's doing, how he's moving, the consistency, just keeping the motion alive, keeping SA hip-hop alive. Like, I feel like he's just doing the right things, bro. It might not come across the best way possible, I admit. But I think he's making the right moves. He's doing it the right way. He's sticking to his strong stuff. So I think he should carry on, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
But I do want to highlight, though, like, outside of Cooper, though, I think mentioned them earlier, like, the guys in KZN, like, yeah, I think KZN hip-hop or Durban hip-hop is cooking at the moment.
I would say those are the people I would Oh, sorry to cut you off, brother.
Carry on, bro. Carry on.
Now, I was just going to say, those are the people, those are more of the KZN crowd are the people I feel are, who actually are elevating hip-hop in a sense, SA hip-hop. Like, if we talk about, because I think when it comes to Twellers, when it comes to Tony, Usmamani, like, I think these guys are still more closer to the hip-hop side of hip-hop, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, I also respect what they're doing for the culture. I think the only thing for me is, I guess it goes back to something I've already spoken on, so I'm not going to go back. I was just saying it's the unity side of it. But yeah, anyway, carry on with what you were saying, brother.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, like, I think they really, and you know what, that's when, like, we're speaking about the whole community thing, Dwayne. Like,
yeah,
even we can go back and reference the PTA scene in like 2022 with your Tysons, your Tato Souls, your 25Ks.
Okay.
Like, when there's that unity, it high key just feels different.
Yes.
And you can see, like, it feels for the culture. But obviously now I think in Jersey more so, like, it's really the individualistic game. And that's okay too. Like, there's no issue. That's just the state of the game as it is, you know? But yeah, I think I lost my train of thought there. Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to mention even that me, as well.
that was the last where I was going.
Now, I was asking about Brother Cooper. I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on Brother Cooper, because I was just trying to, like, put it, you know, contextualize it in terms of what you guys were saying earlier in the conversation about growth and lack of lyricism and lack of this and that. So then, like, where does Brother Cooper sit in all of this? Because, like, he has just said now, he's not really the most lyrical guy, and, you know, but I guess the energy is there, you know. The energy is definitely there. But from Brother Cooper, we also have Nash. I'm just naming artists who I see at the forefront of this new thing. And so what are your guys' thoughts on Kindly Nash? Because we've spoken about Nash before. And when we did the Patrick Lee episode maybe a year ago, he was on that album. And I said, I think this will be the album that puts him, you know, in front as an artist. And that's what happened. And so what are your guys' thoughts on Nash, and where does he fit into, you know, all of this?
Yeah, man, I think when it comes to Nash, bro, Nash is a very strong artist. I think his music is bangers, for sure, and it's like, you know, getting everybody lit, everybody turned, etc. But I don't know, like, there's just a, like, you can hear the craft, bro. Like, you can hear the amount, like, you can hear the work that goes into it. And it's like every song that comes out for me, or every hit, you know, like, even with the whole soldier look, soldier or man, feel, or whatever it is, image or whatever the situation is, like, you can see this person takes time when it comes to their craft and does it well. And I think when it comes to Kindly Nash, like, what he does extremely well. I think his project I really enjoyed. And yeah, man, I think obviously that also probably comes from his roots as a producer and working with multiple artists. And I think he took his time within that space so that when he drops his own, you know, his identity is really set. So, which I think is what it is at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Nash is one of the few guys who, quote unquote, went through artist development in a sense. You know, I feel like out of all the new guys, he's probably been involved with the game the longest, you know. And I think it shows, it reflects, because what Nash does is very, you know, it still feels in the vein of what we're used to, of how an artist would usually move in SA hip hop. The one thing I will say, the only thing I have, my problem with consistency, because a lot of these guys are very consistent, bro. They're dropping almost every week. But now the quality, like Bilo was saying, okay, Nash dropped bangers, but it's like
Nash be dropping so many songs, but maybe only a few will really go crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my thing is, I would like for people to maybe not release as much, but focus a bit more on quality. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of these artists, I think, have the skill level. They have what it takes. Nash is one of them, of course. But when you're just consistently just giving me song after song after song after song, if you're not giving me every song a banger, then I just think it waters you down a bit. You know what I'm saying? That's just me, I guess. But yeah, other than that, there's no other complaints I really have about Nash. I think even with the lyrics, he tries. You know what I'm saying? He tries. And he tries to make clever, catchy puns, like sort of in the way like back in the days, maybe Kanye would, like with the just witty bars, just lines that you would find like a bit jokey, but you know, it's still a bar nonetheless. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's kind of how I feel with Nash. I think he's headed in the right direction. I just think if he just were to maybe just, I think, develop his own sound more, because not saying the sound that he has is not his own sound, but I think Nash is a guy, I think, who could really dominate in a mainstream level with the right sort of bangers. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's what I would kind of point out. And yeah, other than that, Nash is doing well, man.
Yeah, he's got some bars. I remember I listened to his album and there's a song there where he said, "Sort of gets to the point like Amanda.
If yeah. I don't wanna
Chris Tucker when I stand up, it's a rush
yes,
hour.
Sir.
I was like, it's okay, a rush hour. Like,
okay. Yeah.
That's on Picture Perfect, so, I think. I remember
that one. No, okay, cool, Nash. I see you, man.
Yes.
Yeah, Brother Cooper, Nash, and then of course Baby Days. Like I said earlier to you guys, I feel like to me he seems like the he's just above, you know, just a cut above the rest, in terms of how he's moving, the music he's putting out, the quality of the music he's putting out, the visuals. Like, I like that he's leaning more into his culture and his roots now, which is great. Yeah,
these vibes
to see. But of course, it means that I don't understand half the things he's saying, but I'm still feeling the energy.
Yeah.
But it's like, it feels like the music is even better, even though I don't even understand it now. It feels better.
It feels, I think he's very comfortable. Yes. It's come across very natural now.
Yes.
And so, yeah, what are your thoughts on Baby Days now? Where does he fit into all of this?
Yeah, I think for Days, like at the start, I genuinely thought he was a TikTok artist. That's how I saw him come across, because his activity on TikTok was big. A lot of the songs he was tying it to like a dance challenge or whatever the situation is. Even which one? Obviously, it's not his song, but that "Who the Fuck Said Africa's a Zoo?" That whole thing, you know what I mean?
That so like crazy, bro.
Yeah, I did go crazy. I can't lie. I think it's a banger, but like, everything was kind of just tied to TikTok. And then I think when Ale Tobina came out, that's where like I started to feel the shift, you know, and I was like, okay, this is where we're heading into, and this is where it started to feel more like this is his artistry, this is him now actually stamping it down and saying, you know, I'm taking this seriously and I'm actually in this shit. Because I think a lot of people probably, this is just my assumption, they probably didn't take him seriously at that point. And I think now there was a project that he'd also dropped around that time as well, where it was like, okay, now let's switch it up. And now,
yeah, that project was quite good.
Yeah, too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, this is where it started to become serious, and this is where he's starting to stamp his artistry in the game. So it's like, yeah, I think here I've seen the growth in that sense of, sort of in my eyes, looking like a TikTok artist and now just really being a hip hop artist and doing his thing. So it's like, yeah, man, shout out.
Yeah, for once, okay, bro, all I just want to say, for once, one of my flipping prospects has made it, bro. Because, bro, I've been saying Baby Days' name for a long ass time, bro. Even back when niggas was saying Baby Days is rubbish, bro. I always said, bro, you niggas know, I said, bro, Baby Days is a star, bro.
Like, he's a star. I just saw that within him. I don't know what it was. I could just see, bro. I said, nah, this guy, he's got that thing, bro. It might not have been fully developed at the time, bro. But I could see it, bro. And I think it's showing now. I always knew this guy had something different. His energy, his look. Like, we could say, yeah, he was more so, like, making music more like the Cooper guys back in the day or whatever the case may be. But every artist got to find his identity at some point. You know what I'm saying? And I think now that he's found this, he's comfortable, like C says. The music sounds better. Everything looks, it just looks proper. You know what I'm saying? So for me, with someone like a Daze, I think he's ahead of everybody, but not necessarily, I wouldn't say his music is that much better than everybody else's, but I think the way he's moving is kind of setting him apart. Like, I think he understands what he has to do. Like, you can see a lot of guys are still just kind of throwing shit at the wall and seeing like what sticks, but Daze understands his route, he understands his market, he sees what's working, and he's going that direction full force. So I think he's actually a good example of, you know, where I think, even though he's not necessarily SA hip-hop, I guess, but I think he's a good example of how SA hip-hop should be moving right now, at least within the newer guys, I feel, you know what I mean. But yeah, other than that, I think he's doing well for himself, and I want to see where he takes it.
Shut up, Baby Day. Shut up, Never Broke. Yeah, I think, you know, people like Cooper and these guys, you guys have mentioned now, this thing of TikTok. And I think for me, that's what it is, really. Earlier on, I didn't know if I should take some of these guys seriously or not. Because I was like, are these guys doing a gimmick? Are they just, doing parodies? What's going on? Viral, I just didn't really know what was going on, you know?
Yeah.
And so someone like a brother Cooper, for me, I genuinely still don't know if he's just like, you know, if he's just doing a comedy bit or if he's actually really, really serious about this.
Comedy.
But it's working, though.
And it's so a bit of both.
And so, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, I don't know if I should take him seriously or not. I'm not saying that I'm going to, like, you know, disrespect the guy or, you know, throw shade or, no. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I don't know what to make of him because I'm not sure what he's doing. Like, what, you know? Because the songs sound good, but they're also funny. Even the things that he's saying on these songs, I'm like,
and the way he's saying it, it's even the way he, like, it's like, bro, what are you saying?
And so, but that's the thing, right? But I see that people are gravitating towards what he's doing, and people seem to love what he's doing, so it doesn't really matter what I think anyway. But yeah, I think, you know, it's the end of the year now, and we've seen what has happened in this year. So I don't know if there's any prospects that you guys have for the coming year, or what would you like to see more? What changes would you like to see coming into the new year?
I won't lie, bro. Like, with these guys, he's like, it all feels like so new. You know what I mean? So, like, I genuinely don't have expectations. I think for me, it's just, like, I just want to see what's going to come from it. Like, I can't see the trajectory. I don't know where it's going to go. Like, it all feels too new for me to come to a conclusion on him. So, I think I'm just genuinely keen to see where it ends up more than anything. This is, like, the first time where I feel like I just can't necessarily predict or say this is where it's going to land or this is where it's going to end up. So yeah,
what would you like to see? Where would you like to see it land? Since you guys are saying that you weren't so content with the state of hip hop, so where would you like to see this going next year?
Hey man, I think for me, like, I just want to see hip hop continue, like, to grow or to find its stability again, because, like, look, where as much as US hip hop has dropped off significantly, I still feel like in South Africa the talent and what we're seeing is still, let's say, miles ahead, you know. So I think for me it's just about how it kind of sits within South Africa, because, you know what I mean, like, these guys within their fan bases and in their pockets, like, they're making noise, but it's like they've also broken into the mainstream, but like hip hop still isn't making noise in the mainstream like it used to. So I think for me, it would just be really cool to see one of these guys make noise in the mainstream on that level where it's like their song will be on radio, or they're getting booked more, or they're showing up more in these areas. I don't know. Like, I think it's really about just getting that foundation and stability back. So I'm just keen to see hip hop maybe move towards that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely makes sense, bro. Yeah, for me, honestly, I would just like to see that community feel come back, that aspect where everyone feels like we're all united under one roof. I think that made hip hop stronger. It made us move better. It made us, that thing of you talk about not enough bookings, not enough interviews, it's because everybody's off doing their own shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? People aren't really bigging each other up anymore. People aren't, like, I watch sometimes, I see lives of guys who are established, and then, you know, they'll say things like, oh yeah, you guys are not pushing enough. And then maybe people in the chat will say names that are pushing, and then they're like, yeah, there's names, but it's just like, it's always, there's a but. It's just like, bro, let's just push everybody, let's be a community again. If that guy's doing dope shit, let's all come together, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, the golden era of hip-hop, or the golden eras per se, let's say, I would say those are the times where it felt like, even when they were clicky, but like each click was moving like with a lot of men or a lot of people, it also came together somehow. You know what I'm saying? So I just like that feeling to be restored, where it still feels like everybody might be separated, but we can still all come together and unite, bro.
I hear you. In terms of the other genres that we cover on the show, R&B, pop, before we go, how are you guys feeling about where we at now? Because it just seems like if it's not piano right now in the country, then everyone else is sort of, you know.
And piano's
still, I would not, bro, like,
scrambling for second place. I don't want to get into that conversation of piano, but like, what do you guys, yeah, how are you feeling about, you know, R&B? Because there's a few projects that dropped this year, a couple of albums that dropped this year. Some new artists that popped up in the scene as well. So just before we go, where are you at with R&B and pop right now?
Yeah, but I would laugh. Firstly, with regards to that piano chop, guys, ever since being in CPT, like, the priority isn't piano here, high key. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of people breaking through, or like, you know, different motions. I think even the jazz scene here is fucking insane. But let's get into the R&B and pop stuff. I think, yeah, when it comes to R&B pop, dog, ish, I would lie, guys, like, it hasn't hit me since the days we were doing, like, you know, those days when we're reviewing R&B properly, that's when it was, I don't know, like, it just felt like it was at its peak. Like, now, I listen to the artist because I'm like, yeah, you know, like, I like you as an artist and I want to hear you, but African R&B, dog, it's just never picked up or gained this or moved towards this movement the way that it should or the way that it deserves. You know what I mean? Like, you only have people in the pockets that are doing their thing. So I know for myself, I'm listening to Kez, I'm listening to Mars, I'm listening to Nanette, whatever the situation is. But outside of that, like, dog, ain't nobody moving me. But you know, the one side that actually is like of interest is like the, I don't know if it's like, is it Afropop sees like your Key Wabs or your, you know, that one where it's like, that's so, yeah, that scene, I won't lie, for me, like, is I've been picking up on it, and I'm really keen to see, like, in the new year where that goes, because that sound is like really starting to trend. There's that song by Key Wabs, Tundra Sam, which is also trending on TikTok. People in the US are listening. I'm like, that sound is really the one to watch for the new year, to be honest.
Damn. What was the question?
I haven't forgotten. It's about your thoughts on where we're at with R&B and pop right now and where we're headed.
Yes. Yeah, R&B and pop. One thing I will say is I do feel like R&B is getting a little more love from the mainstream, which I'm happy about. But now that Mpilo had spoken about that time when we're reviewing, this was like lockdown era. Like, oh, you see now the level of R&B, it was unmatched there. But I think because everybody was at home in their fields, bro, so it was a bit easier. But now I would say it's I see the growth. I see it's growing, but it's not getting as much love as I think it deserves. I think there's still, the talent is there. Look, when it comes to SA R&B, bro, the talent, bro. Even on the pop scene, we have talent. We have very, very, very strong vocalists. Like, we have all it takes, bro. But for whatever reason, the scene is just very slow for R&B, you know? It's just not as fast as I would like it to be, because it's like, if you think about it, out of everybody, you know, who's leading the genres right now, maybe, let's say piano, let's say maybe second place is hip-hop, or I don't even know where hip-hop falls anymore. But it's like, this is the one genre where people are still singing their hearts out, bruv. But yet, it's not really getting, you know, any love, which is weird to me. But like, again, it's a dance nation. So what are we really going to do at the end of the day? But I will say that I'm pretty happy with the talent that we have out, but just not with the scene still, you know?
Hey, guys. Yeah, there's been a few shining moments in R&B and pop this year.
Yeah.
A lot of new artists that broke through. And I think that next year we're going to see a lot more of that. And I think TikTok is playing a big role in that, like Bilo was mentioning just now. Yeah, so I think in terms of just music, I think you're going to see a lot more of like the Afro stuff happening. So like, yeah, it's going to be like a blending of genres happening. There's like this alternative scene, something happening in the alternative scene where it's like alternative, but then it's also like draped in like soul. And it's just very interesting what's happening, and I think a lot of these artists are still trying to figure it out, but I'm very excited as to, you know, what's going to happen with that whole movement next year. But for this year, I mean, I got an album from Shekinah, I got an album from Mars Baby, I got a project from Lord Cares and a number one song from Lord Cares, so I'm happy.
Like, can you believe it? Let's just quick clap. Thank you. Shout out Cares.
Which is crazy, by the way, because, guys, you look at the charts, it's 90% is house.
Yeah.
Right? It's piano and two-step and three-step on those charts, right?
Hey.
Now, Kez made it to number one with an R&B song, you know.
Yeah.
In 2025, R&B topping the charts. That's crazy to me.
It is crazy.
The last time any woman was on top of the charts, which was not house, it was Billie Eilish. And it's Billie Eilish, bro.
Bro, I'm not surprised.
And then
bro,
before that, it was Tyler with the viral song. The song had to go viral. Like, it became, you know, with the dance challenge or whatever. It took a dance challenge to take it to the top, you know? And then here comes Kiz, R&B.
Bro, it took a dance challenge
to, and it's been R&B the whole time.
That was mad. Didn't spicy, need to jump bro. To.
So it's just like, to me, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's such a big moment. And I think you are. Let's clap up for it because, you know, it's crazy that it happened.
Sure.
I don't think people realize how difficult it is to compete against, you know,
but
the dance genre in SA. But yeah, so big things coming next year. New Kiz album next year. Very happy about that. New Zulu Maker next year. I am so happy about that. Stogie T is dropping a crazy album. I'm so happy about that. Mars Baby is always going to be dropping. I'm more happy about that. So I'm happy about next year. Guys, closing thoughts. What are we saying? Man,
I think music's in an interesting place at the moment. Especially your hip-hops, your R&Bs, etc. And I think also, like, maybe the way I receive music now has also slightly shifted. So, yeah, I'm just keen to see what's going to come from it, man. I think SA artists are just extremely talented, and I think the rest of the world is also starting to catch on. So, yeah, interesting times ahead, man. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I think right now, across the board, all genres, we have the best artists, bro, in the world, bro. That's how I feel, honestly. We have the best in the world, bro. The shit that's cooking here is different level. I think it just needs to be organized more. I just think, you know, we just got to show a bit more love. Because South Africans, hey, it's like we only love you when you get to the top, bro. If we would show more love to a lot more people cooking, you know, I think the whole industry itself would elevate on a global level. You know, I always say a part of the reason why piano is where it is because one man got in that side technically. You know, Boris Dill has basically carried so much of piano, dude, to the world. You know what I'm saying? So I just think we need to push each other more to get into these situations where people can open these doors for us on a global level, whether that's important to you or not, because I guess these days it's not that necessary, I guess. But yeah, I'm happy where the game is at when it comes to talent wise, when it comes to variety, when it comes to choice. I'm just hoping that there's more, I guess, just community aspect and yeah, people just continue to push, man, and support. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to music, man. What an amazing thing. Guys, this has been great. It was nice to be back in the studio all together. Let's do this more often. Yeah?
Yes.
This has been the Best Kept Secret Podcast, aka the podcast about nothing. I was your host, CZ Ray. I was not alone. I was joined by my brethren, Bilo Might Just and Blaze on Blaze. Until next time,
deuces.
Stay shining.